Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on YouTube, on Periscope, and on Twitch. Taking your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025.
Streaming live with the preferred distance from face.
Yeah,
I got some snide comments.
Out.
Snide comments yesterday.
People were kind of rude to you yesterday with the close up action we had to take with the Zoom coming on.
I mean, look, my face can fill a screen, okay?
Your face is pretty. I don't know what people are all upset about here.
Yeah, it's a real piece of art.
It's a beaut, Clark.
Yeah, that's right.
I love it.
I like this better. This is
we are a little bit more distance today. We've got the nice We're Vibing towel, rally towel from the Preds game last night. That apparently they handed out. This is good stuff today here on the show.
They did, and those towels light up.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, Brennan found that out. Brennan was in there waving. And it's like, oh, look. He's like, do these light up? I'm like, no, it's just a towel. He's like, no, check it out. They do light up.
That's fancy.
It is.
How about that? Predator's going all out on the We're Vibing stuff right now. I'm going to tweet the photo out of the T-shirt here in just a few minutes.
Is it possible they'll raise a We're Vibing banner?
Maybe so. Depends on what they do, I guess, going forward here. Like, if they march their way to a Stanley Cup title, you've got to do something with it, right? Like, could that be described as maybe not the turning point, but the mantra moving forward for the Predators?
Would you get on the cup if they win?
Oh, I hope so. I mean, it is the Stanley Cup.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
It's got to count for something, right?
I mean, it's Robbie's cup.
Come on. Got to count for something.
Or at least get a swig out of it.
I'll take 2% credit. It's what I said, you know, last week. 2% credit. I'll take it.
You got the ball rolling, man.
That's right. We'll see if
they can get more than 2%.
See if they can finish the job coming up here, getting the playoffs first. That'd be a good first step for the Predators on their march to the Stanley Cup. Joe, the draft a little bit more than a week away in the NFL, and we've talked a lot about defense. And by the way, like NFL.com has like this mock draft simulator that you can do that Corey Curtis put out yesterday. On Twitter. So I found myself yesterday afternoon, I did like 9 mock drafts with the Titans.
Okay.
It's interesting to see how it works out. It's like put yourself in the mind of a GM.
Well, I've seen those, and I feel like sometimes they're like you get someone in the fourth round that's like, wait a minute, that's like a projected first rounder. Like, how does that
sometimes
work?
Like, I got
it just randomly, like, I mean, obviously, it's obviously like some players are not available when you get to the next round, right? Like, Like, are you drafting and then you're seeing everybody else what they're drafting too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, my first pick in my mock draft was Christian Barmore because he was still there. And I could have gone that. Now, I will say in one of these mock drafts, J.C. Horn was still there. And I was like, okay.
Gotta do it.
J.C. Horn's not going to be there at 22, but I'll take him if he's there in this mock draft. So, there you go. So, I had Barmore going. But we've talked a lot about defense, whether it's corner, whether it's edge rusher that you add to. And all these are important for the Titans moving forward as well. But there is a guy that I think you need to think about if you're the Titans, and that is your quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. We all know how good Derrick Henry is and A.J. Brown, and those are certainly very good weapons that the Titans have. But you have lost Jonnu Smith. You've lost Corey Davis. Adam Humphries, although I know he was hurt for most of his tenure here with the Titans, was a good player when he was on the field and when he was healthy. Like, how much of a priority should it be making sure that you surround Tannehill with good weapons? I mean, you feel great about him. You feel great about Henry. You feel great about A.J. Brown. And those are certainly three pretty good pieces foundationally to build your offense. But as I was kind of going through my mock draft yesterday and filling this thing out, like, you know, Josh Palmer's there in the third round on this thing. I mean, Diami Brown from North Carolina is there. I mean, there's a lot of depth at wide receiver. I think if you're the Titans – and you can find a way to add a couple of explosive pieces on offense, all of a sudden, you're making your job with Todd Downing a whole lot easier coming in year one.
Well, they have to. I mean, look, they have to me, they have needs. They have needs at receiver and tight end. It's okay. It's okay to have needs at receiver and tight end. You don't, you know, I mean, everybody has some needs, but they do. I mean, they got to have another weapon. I mean, I think they need two, and I think they need a weapon at both spots. But even if it's just, you know, a solid all-around tight end who can be part of the passing game, it doesn't have to be the next Jonnu Smith. But at receiver, yeah, I think you've got to look at this like this lineup, when you're projecting what you're going to do offensively, there's like the TBD guy who has an important role in this offense. I mean, I really believe that. But like you just said, I don't know that you necessarily have to go that high to do it. Now, TD, Teron Davenport, you know, came on the show Friday, as he always does, and, you know, he has a strong feeling on the Titans and their feelings on Elijah Moore, which makes sense. For one thing, we know John Robinson loves SEC players. I mean, he is a big SEC guy.
That SEC speed. Gotta love it.
And SEC lineman, you know. But so, look, if that's your guy, then that's fine. But I think you could still get someone who comes in here and makes a difference in the third round. You got A.J. Brown at what, 51? 51, 52, wherever he was the second round? This is a very deep class of receivers. So I kind of like the defense first idea. But again, it's just like you have to just be true to who you believe is better overall.
Yeah, and I think Titans fans at large, they look at this roster right now and how bad the defense was last year and just say, all right, you do whatever you can do to address it. Like I've seen some Titans fans either tweet at me or some of the mock drafts they've put out where it's like defense the first four rounds. Like it's just corner, edge rusher, add to the line, add a linebacker because we don't like Rashawn Evans. Like there's and all of that. I mean, I guess it's possible if you're the Titans. But what you don't want to have happen is, all right, you've addressed these needs on defense, and you've become, okay, become good on defense. You're still probably not going to be a top five, top ten defense in the NFL, but you become okay. But then all of a sudden, you look around, and people are stacking nine guys in the box trying to shut down Derrick Henry, and it's AJ Brown out there just running routes and nobody else with it. Like this, your offense was so good last year. And I've gotten myself to the point where it's just going to be difficult for me to expect them to replicate that moving forward next year. But you don't want them to completely fall off the table either. And I know that some fans may say, well, you've got Tannehill, Henry, and Brown. How could you completely fall off the table? I mean, falling off the table from what we saw last year, you get to like 12th or 13th in offense. That's a pretty steep drop from what we saw a year ago. That could make a huge difference in your bottom line.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you and we've talked about Darrington Evans as a little element that could be different that could help them for sure. And so he's one guy you're going to count on. Ferkser is going to be – I mean, Ferkser keeps getting better. Ferkser is certainly someone you have to consider in there. And we've talked about – obviously they signed Josh Reynolds. I like Josh Reynolds. I think Josh Reynolds can be – I think you could look at this offense and say – yes, you need other people to make plays. Also, yes, Corey Davis had a big year. Also, yes, a lot of people with those two guys would get a lot of opportunities.
Sure.
And so I think Josh Reynolds will. We've talked about Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, which, of course, is, future All-Pro.
Big year.
Yeah. But, I mean, he and Batson, I think the Titans feel okay about those guys at the back end, and then it's just who are you bringing in? Like if you brought in I'm a big Rondale Moore guy. I will be until some other team takes him and benefits and goes to the Super Bowl because they have Rondale Moore. I love the idea of the slot receiver who is just a different kind of player. Again, I think Humphreys made them better when he was out there. The guy who Corey Curtis said it. They're like third and six.
Yeah.
You can get it anytime. Like you're not gonna that guy is going to get open for those quick hitters whenever you need it done. And the thing about a Rondale Moore and maybe an Elijah Moore too, maybe a Tutu Atwell from Louisville is then they can also take it and go with it. And so I would be in favor of something like that. You'd have to go at least second round to get at least some of those, maybe a Tutu Atwell would be later. He's a polarizing player at 155 pounds.
Well, I mean, just a part of what's made this offense so good, a huge part of it, not only is Derrick Henry on the ground and Ryan Tannehill's ability to make some big throws, but it's also just how efficient he's been. I mean, you're talking 70% of your passes in 2019 completed, 65.5% last year. 9.6 yards per attempt in 2019. 7.9 last year. I mean, these are really good, really efficient numbers. We talked last week about how good they've been in the red zone. Well, the supporting cast that you've had is a big part of that. Tannehill's been great, but when you've got Smith to throw the ball to, and you've got Davis and A.J. Brown, man, that makes you got a lot of options in the red zone at that point. Right now, this team, and look, I don't know what sort of a fit Josh Reynolds is going to be in the red zone. Right now, this team doesn't have a whole lot of options to throw the ball in the red zone, and that's got to be something that you keep up with as well, because that's been a huge part of why the Titans' offense has been as good as they've been the last couple of years. Is when you get down to the 20, they're scoring touchdowns. They're not kicking field goals. And in today's NFL, as high scoring as it is, that's the name of the game. Like, you've got to be good in the red zone. Like, the top three teams in the red zone last year, the Titans, the Packers, the Chiefs, all three of them pretty good. I mean, there's a direct correlation there with how good you are in the red zone and what your bottom line looks like.
Well, A.J. Brown's good in the red zone.
He's pretty – well, yeah.
But yeah, I mean
– I'm not saying they don't have anybody. I'm just saying the options right now look a little bit more bleak than they did this time last year.
They do. You know, last night at the game, I had Stillman to my left. I had Brennan to my right, which was a really interesting dynamic. Some interesting sports takes, including Brennan saying actually what the Titans should be doing right now is trading up for a quarterback and getting rid of Tannehill.
Oh, yeah.
I think Stillman sort of was catching on to that. We might hear that at 2 o'clock today.
Brennan just laying out the takes last
night. We never talk about the idea of, you know, going to get a QB and get rid of Tannehill. I mean, come on.
I mean, it's got to be on the table, right?
What do you think, Todd Downing?
Make sure you tune in later on in the show as we reveal a keyword for you to text into the game line for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Homegate Giveaway, a Dos Equis prize pack, including a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. We'll have that opportunity coming up for you a little bit later here in the show. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans offense coming up next. Could they be adding a receiver maybe in the first round? There's a guy out there that's a very popular name with Titans fans and with Titans media. We'll discuss that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road, once again, loving the music that Porth is selecting. Coming back from the break.
So I keep the headphones off until I know what's going on. He's still trying to keep playing it right now.
Just a little lit. Is this inspired from last night?
Absolutely. 90s night.
Yeah, buddy.
Joe was vibing in the suite when this was playing.
Honestly, when I heard that song, I honestly thought it was just another crappy Blink-182 song. I forgot about the band Lit. Do they have any other songs? Is that their own?
I have no idea.
Is Lit a one-hit wonder?
I don't know. I'd have to do some Spotify research or something going on there.
You know, I rip on Blink-182, but if you're the band that shamelessly rips off Blink-182, ooh, how bad are you?
Jeez.
Right?
Look.
Coming off the top rope.
I've got the Blink-182 Greatest Hits album on my phone right now. So,
God,
not going to get me to say a bad word about
it. Hits.
That's right. There's a lot of them. Hit after hit, baby.
I'd rather have Right Said Fred's Greatest Hits. I'm Too Sexy 17 remixes.
I'm sure you would.
They jammed that last night. It was good.
Oh, yeah. I bet they did. Good stuff on 90s night at Bridgestone Arena. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ryan Porth, what do you think of the idea that we threw out there in the last segment where there's been a lot of talk about defense, you understand why, but you also want to make sure your quarterback has got some weapons to distribute the ball to? We saw at the end of last year that receiving depth was a little sparse out there. It was A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, and that was pretty much it. How concerned are you that the Titans offense could take a significant step back this year if you don't address needs properly in the draft?
Well, what's significant?
I mean, they were a top three offense last year. So let's say going back to middle of the pack.
So somewhere in that, you know, 12 to 20 range.
Yeah, like I'm not saying they go to, you know, 28th in the league or anything like that.
12 to 20, that's significant.
Yeah.
Okay. I would agree that that's a significant drop, and I am concerned that that will happen. And that is the root reason why last November I was so ticked off about this defense, because you knew Arthur Smith was probably going to get a job. Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis were free agents. I don't think we all expected at that point in the season that all three would be gone going into 2021. But you knew with the way that they were playing and the potential for all three of them to be gone, that there was no guarantee that 2021 the offense was going to look identical to what it was last year, and the defense did not allow the offense to take advantage just as a team as a whole. So, yeah, I'm worried that that offense this season is not going to be what it was last year, not even close. And I do think the play calling is a big part of that. Not to say that Todd Downing is going to come in and be terrible, but a new coordinator with new weapons, and the only time Ryan Tannehill really has been consistent in his career to this extent is with Arthur Smith. So there's that unknown of what Tannehill's going to look like under Todd Downing. So, yeah, I am concerned.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew from Dover text in. I'm an Alabama fan through and through, but it would be nice to see Brown and Moore reunited on the Titans. Then that gives Tannehill three really good options to throw. And then you had Derrick Henry working on his pass catching. This could be a top five offense once again coming in next year. We did talk about it yesterday. Derrick Henry out there running some routes.
Pass catcher so extraordinaire.
That could be another option for the Titans in the red zone, is sending Derrick Henry on like a fade route to the corner. He was working on those.
Yeah, any way to get him the ball is a good idea to me. See, I don't know about this. Well, Downing's a big part of it, but I don't know that there's a significant drop-off. A lot of that comes down to, first of all, Jonnu Smith is a special talent, but the production was not huge, right? I mean, sure. We know there's reasons why. I mean,
he was a big part of the red zone success, though.
Yeah. But, you bring Lawan back, you're healthy right now in the offensive line. That should – there's an upgrade from what you were the second half of last season automatically, right? Just by having your Pro Bowl left tackle.
Sure.
And then the Corey Davis thing is, it's going to be interesting. It's interesting to see what he does with the Jets, and whoever gets those snaps, I think Josh Reynolds get a lot of them. You know, how much of Corey Davis's production last year? I mean, look, he ran the routes, he caught the ball. He was a big physical receiver. He was good. It was easily the best year of his career. But is that not duplicatable, replicable by someone else?
Replicable.
You like replicable?
Duplicable.
Is that not replicable by another person in this offense, in this exact same setup with that line, with that running game, with AJ Brown? Is that not something that, I'm not saying anybody could do. I'm not saying that, but. Was Corey Davis a real beneficiary of things around him?
Well, let me ask you this. There's been a lot of chatter, and Andrew brought it up on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, about Elijah Moore. You've talked about Rondale Moore. So if the Titans add Elijah Moore in the first round, which is still amazing to me, I've seen him go from anywhere from 22 to 56 in some of these mock drafts. But if the Titans take Elijah Moore in the first round, and he's reunited with A.J. Brown, and you've got A.J. Brown, Elijah Moore, and Josh Reynolds. Which trio do you like better? A.J. Brown, Elijah Moore, Josh Reynolds, or A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, and Adam Humphries?
That's a good question. The problem with that is, like, I do think that Reynolds can be in the neighborhood of Davis. I do. We don't know. I know that Humphries, when he's right, is good.
Yes.
He's tough, man. I mean, that's why, look, did they overpay? Absolutely. I mean, we had one of our guys, Mike Sando, did like, you know, worst free agent signings for teams, and he was kind of picking my brain on the Titans, and he threw out Humphries, and I'm like, I see what you're saying because, like, the numbers aren't really there, sure. But I don't agree with that. I actually think that, like, it was a good addition to the offense. When he was – we just didn't see it so much at all. Like, again, I go back to, like, last year when he came back for the Kansas City game. You saw the difference for him. I think it could be better. You know, is Elijah Moore going to be able to play all year? That right there gives you a leg up. But I guess I would still go with last year's just because there's a little bit too much unknown. But I think that Josh Reynolds is comparable to Corey Davis.
Let me ask you, what do you think of those two trios that I've tossed out there with Elijah Moore, A.J. Brown, and Josh Reynolds? Do you like that trio better, or do you like Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, and Adam Humphries?
I would take Brown, Davis, and Humphries.
Okay.
Because of the unknown, Reynolds hasn't been a number two before, and you're a receiver in the draft can have all the potential in the world, but you're still rolling the dice, especially if you're banking on that receiver to come in year one and be an impact player. So I would take Brown, Davis, Humphries. And I still feel like John Robinson is undervaluing the fourth and fifth positions on the depth chart for receiver, just like he did last year.
I agree.
Well, now he may draft multiple receivers. That's right.
He could.
You know? What I mean, I hear what you're saying. It's just like, I mean, I have a bigger concern about the fact that Adoree Jackson, Malcolm Butler, Kenny Vaccaro, and Desmond King are gone. Like, that's, you know, I mean, you talk about undervaluing things, like they've had to cut the hell out of their salary, right? So,
But the secondary last year wasn't something that you could depend on. As good as a couple of those players were, I mean, Butler and Vaccaro, yes. But, like, are they really going to miss Adoree Jackson from 2020? To this year?
Well, I think they'll miss Adoree Jackson. No, if you take right off the injury Adoree Jackson, sure, that guy's,
well, the way he's getting
that guy's
paid,
an easy cut.
He's going to have 17 interceptions this year.
Yeah.
Has he had 17 interceptions in his entire life?
Probably not.
Didn't he have like two at USC and then two here?
Two here, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe in high school.
But, you know, we also know that you can be an elite cornerback in this league and
sure.
have none,
sure.
right?
Sure.
I mean, but I'm just saying, when you talk about valuing things, I mean, I'm more concerned about the valuing of the cornerback position now and what it looks like compared to previously. And again, I think both things are going to be addressed in the draft.
But doesn't the cornerback position automatically look better if the pass rush is better?
Oh, sure. Oh, no doubt. Look, if you give me a choice, am I going to have the best coverage guys ever or the most fierce pass rush? It's an easy choice. But, like, he's, you know. You're not going to get the quarterback ever. You're not going to go from never getting the quarterback to always getting to the quarterback. So you might want to be able to run with guys for a few steps.
We'll continue the discussion on the Titans when we come back. Got a lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game is kicking off every weekend with free beer.
Free beer!
And who doesn't love free beer? Make sure you're tuning in all day Friday for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. We'll have that opportunity coming up for you on Friday. A little bit more under control with the voice today, Porth.
I had to, maybe orchestrate something different because the voice is still not at 100%.
I mean, yesterday you kind of sounded like a bachelorette at the end of a pedal tavern trip. I mean, it was struggling there.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're getting a little stronger, I feel like.
Free beer. Was that better?
Yeah, it was good.
All right.
That was like a movie trailer guy. It was good. Way to go.
In a world.
There you go.
Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By the way, some breaking news in the NFL. This coming from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. The Panthers are hosting former Titans defensive tackle Daquan Jones on a visit, source said, and they are expected to sign him to a one-year deal. The underrated Jones fills up a need for Carolina, a big body up front who has started for Tennessee since 2015. So Daquan Jones has been out there on the market. Looks like he could be heading to the Carolina Panthers.
Good player. It was not going to, you know, the Titans weren't going to, just like a lot of guys who, if they could pay, they'd probably pay, but you can't. So there's another, when you look at the loss of him, you know, you got Autry coming in, you got Simmons. I've very much warmed to the Christian Barmore thing, even though it's not technically a need, like a front line
just because Brugler said it?
Pretty much. I'm pretty much copying Brugler. Yeah, whatever Brugler said. Yeah, exactly.
So that trio question I threw out in the last segment about the trio of A.J. Brown, Elijah Moore, and Josh Reynolds, or A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Adam Humphries. If it's Rondale Moore instead of Elijah Moore, does that change your mind? Are you just unequivocally sold on the Rondale Moore trio at that point?
Greatest receiving core in history if it's Rondale Moore.
I agree.
MVP is a rookie, so yeah, that's a totally different discussion.
Just totally changes the conversation there. We do have person on Twitter that goes by some guy working from home says Delanie Walker is back in shape and wants to play. Sign him to an incentive-laden contract. What do you think of that, Delanie Walker?
Well, I tweeted back, and he got all mad at me, but and basically said, all you want, but he's an amazing route runner. His hands are like glue. As a day one Titans fan, I'm sick of players who can't catch. First of all, was that a problem last year? Players who can't catch?
AJ Brown dropped a couple balls. That was it.
Yeah, I mean, he dropped the one big pass. Yeah,
he had some dropsies midway through the year.
Okay.
Caught a lot of important passes, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't say drops were like a big problem. Look, Delanie Walker was a great player. Outstanding, one of the best free agent signings in Titans history. I mean, you saw the last time he tried to play, and he had the gruesome injury. He's 36. I'm not saying he won't be in the league again. I'm saying I think the Titans have moved on and probably should have moved on.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark from Clarksville text in. Would you guys be more in favor to trade up for a Devontae Smith or a Jalen Waddle if they fall to pick 12 or 14? Or trade back to 26 through 29 and pick up Elijah Moore and get an extra pick in the top 100? So if you had your choice, if you're John Robinson, let's say Devontae Smith falls to 12 or 13. Do you trade up and go get him, or are you more comfortable trading back and getting Elijah Moore, maybe at 26 or 27, and picking up an extra pick?
I mean, look, I'm not saying like it's not intriguing to think about one of those guys, a Devontae Smith. But what are you giving up? What are you giving up to move up 10 spots or whatever it might be to do that? I really think you've got to hit on a lot of positions to fill out your depth in some spots, and in other spots to have someone ready to start at some point this year, a couple of them. So my answer would probably be trade back, even though it's very intriguing to think about talent like that. Now, the problem with, again, trading back is who's desperate to get into 22?
Yeah.
Team has to be like, ooh, I got to get to 22 so Team X doesn't draft Player X. Now, actually, I do. If there's one guy I think could be that kind of guy, it might be a Barmore. Yep. If he falls, maybe there's a team that's like, this is exactly what we need up front defensively. And then if you were the Titans, you could trade back, or you could be like, oh, well, maybe we should take Barmore.
I mean, if you're trading up to, 12 overall, and first off, I don't know if Devontae Smith's going to fall that far, but if he does, like, you're trading probably either a future first-round pick or certainly like maybe a second-round pick this year involved in it as well. Like, you're going all of a sudden from having four picks in the top 100 to, I guess, three at that point, where we've talked about going the other way and trying to get more, like maybe five in the top 100 based on all the needs that you have. It would just be – and I get it. Like, Devontae Smith is very intriguing. Jalen Waddle, even though I don't think he falls that far, very intriguing. And if they're still on the board, I mean, I'd think about it if I was the Titans. I don't see them pulling the trigger on something like that.
Yeah, I don't, and I'm dubious about it, that even being a possibility. I understand that lately there's been more of the mocks that have sort of funneled some of those guys lower, but
yeah,
I don't know. Look, I guess like if you trade like a 2022 first, which certainly could allow you to still have depth in this draft, and you might be getting yourself a star player. I mean, look, top talent is hard to come by. I mean, I'm not totally opposed to that. I would be more okay with that. It's a go for it move than giving up depth of your draft capital in this draft.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, I say you just stack up offensively and keep it moving. Just get us to the middle of the pack on defense, and I think we'll be good.
Just do that. That's all you got to do.
That's going to be a process.
That's the thing. It's not easy to even get to middle of the pack. Where are they now? Not middle of the pack.
Well, how much better do you feel with Bud Dupree coming in and Danico Autry? I mean, that's the question. I mean, you've got those two coming in, so you have to feel better about the pass rush. You also don't really have a proven good NFL corner on your roster right now.
Well, Janoris Jenkins, I think.
Well, I mean, Janoris Jenkins is out there, but he's 33.
Yeah.
Like, we saw it last year. You can hit that cliff in a hurry if you're not careful. So, I mean, do you feel better now than you did when the season ended about the defense? I think you'd have some Titans fans that say, absolutely. You've got Bud Dupree. You've got Denico Autry. The pass rush is better. And you'd have some say, yeah, the pass rush is better. Now you can't cover anybody. Like, it's a really interesting spot that defense is in right now.
Right. Dupree's got to be great, and maybe he will be. That makes a big difference. Autry's got to be peak Autry. That would make a big difference. I think Jayon Brown coming back is pretty significant.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a playmaker. And when he's on the field, this defense is flat out better. I still like the safety. I mean, I think they're going to be okay with Hooker stepping in. But they've got to have, and this is why, again, like you talk about moving up to get a Devontae Smith. I say if you think J.C. Horn is an absolute stud, is going to come in and start for you, then that's where I'd move up to do. Or take a Newsome if he's there, or even if you have to move up a couple spots or something like that. I mean, to me, you have to have another cornerback on this team that really can play.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says the Titans should give the Dolphins a third first-round pick and move back and take picks 36 and 50. So the Dolphins already have two first-round picks. Texter saying, give them another one.
Okay, so why are the Dolphins like, ooh, we got to get to 22?
I don't know.
Like, why does the other team want to do that? I mean, sure, it sounds good. But the Dolphins already are like, I'm sure, would like some of their own depth, right, and more picks. So why are they like, oh, we got to be at 22 to do what? I mean, maybe it works out. But I think people don't think about the other side enough on these things. You know, you think about trading up to get a certain player. But you think about trading down, that's because another team wants a certain player.
Right.
And usually in drafts, you know, there aren't a ton of, like, guys in the 20s that are – you know, that are like that. Sometimes it happens, so it could happen, but it's hard to be able to count on that.
When we come back, we will switch gears and get back into the Nashville Predators. With the way UC Saros is playing right now, has he created a mental edge against the Blackhawks? And could it be that maybe Pecorine only has one more game left in his career? We'll discuss that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Be sure to tune in every weekday for your chance to win $1,000. It's the game's 1K payday. Listen for the keywords at 9, noon, and 3. And when you hear it, go to thegamenashville.com and enter the keyword for shot at $1,000. We'll have that opportunity coming up for you on our show today here at 9 o'clock on the program. So make sure you're tuned in for that. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, before we get back in the Preds, I do want to go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CD text in, if you could draft any football movie character in the first round, who do you take? I'm grabbing Bobby Boucher and moving him to edge rusher. Be a heck of a pass rusher, man.
You might have some penalties on your hand, though.
You might.
That's the only problem. You're going to get some 15-yarders.
A lot of flag trouble, yeah.
Bobby Boucher would be good. Trying to think. Johnny B. Good.
Yeah.
Anthony Michael Hall's. But again, you know, the Titans are okay. Quarterback, at least most people think so.
Yeah, most people. There are a few
detractors. Some in my family who somehow, you know.
A few detractors.
Yeah. Trash. Trash, man. He's trash. So, everybody's trash.
Yeah, everybody's trash. Is that the thing now, the kids say? Just everything's trash?
Trash, toxic. But you know another thing that he loves to say is dog water. Have you heard this one?
Yeah.
Dog water. What does that mean?
It means not good.
Bro, he's dog water.
What? They're getting creative now with the stuff they come up with.
This Sparks tweet is pretty good. There's a picture that Porth took of Jared, Caroline, and me in the box, and Sparks says, looks like dad visiting the kids at college, surprising them with game tickets and a trip to Chili's.
Yeah, there you go.
Well done. Well done, Sparks. That's a much better take than Kenston thinking Jared looks jacked.
That's going to make his day.
Buff Jared.
Jared's going to like frame that tweet and put it in his workout room. It's going to be awesome.
Yes. And I said, jacked. You mean jacked up?
Wow. A little hostile.
Sorry, Jared.
It's okay. So getting back into the Predators, Saros, look, we've talked a lot about him. He's been amazing, and he was very good once again last night for the Predators against the Blackhawks. Number one, like I talked about it with Dylan Strome, Like, I do think there's a little bit of kind of some mental stuff going on right now with the Blackhawks. Saros has just been excellent all season long against them, and it's gotten to the point now where I think you see guys trying to like bear down and make that perfect shot rather than just shooting the puck and seeing what happens there. I mean, that's how they scored their goals last night. It's a broken play. The puck ends up on DeBrincat's stick. He just fires it, and then the second goal they scored, David Camp gets one right in the middle, and Saros is going the complete other way and never saw the puck. So sometimes it's better just to put that thing on net and see what happens. But I think Saros is a little bit in the heads right now of the Blackhawks. I would expect he's going to play on Wednesday and Friday, so I would be very surprised if Pekka sees either one of these two games. And Joe, that got me thinking last night, like I'm looking at this schedule for the Predators coming down the stretch here. You've got the rest of this week coming up against Chicago. You've got a back-to-back set next week at home against Florida. And I would think that Pekka probably gets one of those games. After that, you've got a three-day break, and then you've got Dallas. You've got, you know, a break between Columbus and Carolina as well. And you close the season out with two games against Carolina. Like, I think Saros is probably going to get all those if he keeps playing the way he's playing right now. Like, so could it be that Pekka might have one game left in his career? We don't know what he's going to do this offseason. He very well could come back next year and decide to continue playing. But I do think there's at least a decent chance that he's going to retire after this year. Could we be down to the point where maybe there's one game left just based on the way the schedule plays out for Pekka?
Yeah, that's a great point, and I think it's possible. I think if you're a Preds fan, you hope there's one game left this season because it means that Saros is continuing to play well.
Yeah.
Because if Pecorino plays more than that, it probably means that something flips the other way on Saros, either injury or performance. But, yeah, someone asked earlier, a caller, about Pekka, you know, coming back next year. And I think you said a little more than 50% you think he's going to retire. I mean, yeah. I don't – maybe I'm just overthinking this or I'm exaggerating it, but I'm more like in the 75-25 on Pekka Rinne retiring for this year. What are you, Porth?
I'd probably be right there with you, Joe.
I mean,
it makes sense.
Who knows? It's hard to know. Like, you know, I'm sure he's enjoying the overall ride here with this team. So you feel – because I think some of the retirement talk is also like, do you want to be part of the pain that's to come? So if you're Pekka Rinne and you feel like, no, this team is actually like it's got a chance to be really good next year, maybe then that makes it more likely you sign up for more of that. So now that I think about it, put me back to 65-35.
Okay. Do you feel like the way the team has played has a bigger impact on him coming back than the way he would have been playing earlier in the year?
Well, I think that I don't know about bigger, but I just think that, look, right now it's clear who the number one goaltender is, obviously,
sure.
Right? So I think it's just more like if you could still be part of something good, that's gotta be on the list of pros, right?
Yeah. I would think so.
Him going down and the team going down, that's really a recipe to retire.
Sure, yeah. And look, I think if you're him, like, you're in an interesting spot now in your life. I mean, you've just had a kid. You've done almost everything there is to do in this game. Obviously, the Stanley Cup is still something that you're pursuing and still something that's missing from your resume. But, I mean, he's had a phenomenal career, obviously. I also wonder, like, would he want another crack at it just based on the fact that there's largely been, you know, not very many fans in the building this year? Like, he's a guy that I think's got a special connection with this fan base. And I'm not saying that's a reason to come back and play an entire other season, but like it is kind of, and I thought about this at the beginning of the year, like what if we get to the point where this is it with Pekka and there's 33% of the building that's in there to see him for his last game. Like I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if that's a reason to come back and play another year, but that's gotta be something in your mind. If you're him, like, man, that would suck for it to be a way to go out and the building's not full.
That's all a good season. No, that's a good point. He could come back next year and just retire after a week.
Could be.
Have the season over. but I think another thing is, I really think that when he thinks of everything, I mean, he cares about this team. So is there a viable backup next year for Saros? Like, would this team need him to know that they've got a guy that can be a good backup? Does he feel like he's leaving them a little bit high and dry with no one that you feel great about to, you know, to support Soros?
Well, it's just an interesting thought here, because I don't think people really allowed themselves to think about this yet. Like, I was looking at the schedule. We're getting down to the end of it here, and he's not going to be playing a whole lot. Like, there literally could be – and I assume he plays that back-to-back. Maybe he doesn't. Like, maybe Soros, you're just riding him as long as you can ride him, because you're going to need every point as you move forward here. Like, I still think Pekka has played well enough this year. You feel okay about putting him in the net. Like, it's not like you're just scared of putting him in the net. And I think there was probably at least a stretch last year where maybe you were. Maybe you were kind of fearful about putting him in the net.
I'd be fearful. I think you have to play him that back-to-back. I mean, they've got some gap to these games, but there's a lot on Soros right now. Yeah. I think a night off for him would be a good idea, especially, you know, trying to make this playoff run. You're going to probably be asking him to beat Carolina once, if not twice, at the end. And then get in the postseason. Yeah. I would give them that night for sure.
To answer your question, Joe, they could pretty easily go out in the free agent market and find a 1B or a backup to Soros.
Yeah, that's true. But again, then you're paying for it. And what's the money situation looking like? Trying to get Granlund back here?
Well, you'd probably be paying less for that goalie than
for
you
Pekka?
Are right now for Pekarene.
Yeah, like
maybe not though.
Maybe not.
Maybe he'll take the hometown discount, too.
Somebody on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Pekka to Seattle? No, he's not going to Seattle.
No.
His contract is up after this year. He will not be eligible to be selected by Seattle. So you don't have to worry about that. He's not going to end up going to the Kraken.
Yeah, I guess unless
he just signs there as a free agent.
They could sign him as a free agent. Yeah,
no, he's not doing that.
He could retire a Kraken.
Maybe he just really
sign
loves.
Sign a one-day contract.
Yeah. Really loves the aquatic lifestyle.
he loves fishing, and there's a lot of fishing in Seattle.
Yeah, that's
you don't
a good
want to
point.
Come across a Kraken when
he
you're fishing.
He could grill up some serious fish up there.
It's true. Who knows? Maybe that's it. I thought about that last night in the second intermission. I was just kind of looking at the schedule and saying, man, like I see one obvious spot for Pekka. And look, maybe he gets another one. Like maybe the Predators, they continue this run, and they're – you know, 5 points clear of the Stars and the Blackhawks by the time the last game comes around. I mean, you play Pekka at that point anyway. But I see one glaringly obvious spot for him left to play. And that's it. And then we just don't know. Like, if they get in the playoffs, he's probably not going to play. It's going to be Soros.
If he retires, I predict that the season opener next year, they'll raise his jersey.
Think it'd be that quick? I mean, it could be.
I mean, I know that's fast. Usually there's some
usually
lag
doesn't
time.
Happen. Yeah, usually doesn't happen right away.
Yeah,
right.
No, I know.
But it's the first one.
But hey,
I mean, he's gonna get his jersey retired.
Yeah, this is a franchise that likes to raise banners. Okay, yeah. So why not raise a
Maybe
jersey?
Put the
fast.
Vibin one right next to it. Add the Rene banner and the Vibin banner right next
and
to it.
And one of your face.
Yeah,
is your face on the Vibin one?
Maybe
yes,
so. I think so.
It's gotta be.
It's gotta be at this point. When we come back, we'll switch gears. Get into a little bit of Tennessee Vols talk. Trey Wallace from Rocky Top Insider will join us. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.